The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Stuart Beasley, Mick Norton and Gareth Topham in the studio. Something for everybody on Wednesday. We have flat racing from Carlisle and Catterick in the afternoon, accompanied by all-weather action at Lingfield. The all-weather racing continues into the evening from Kempton. We have jumping from Worcester and there's racing over in Ireland as well from Bellewstown. So six meetings to look forward to. Plenty to talk about. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
Hello, Mark Walton. I'm very well, thank you.
Good. It's been a good week just gone by, hasn't it? And the weekend, it's been top-notch stuff.
It's been just about a week, yeah. 7 whole days.
Yes. I was talking about the racing.
Oh, right, yeah.
Ebar Festival, obviously very good.
Yeah.
Anything stand out to you from the meeting? Did you take any one thing out of it? I mean, there's quite a lot, but...
The chicken pasties... tend to have a large lump of chicken at one end,
right,
and all the vegetables at the other end.
Okay, so Polly just distributed chicken in the pasties, but
terrible
from an equine perspective.
Terrible chicken distribution is the title of the horse. Is the name of the horse I'm going to buy?
Yeah,
I took all sorts of things from it.
Yeah,
loads of things. Where do you want to start? What day?
Well, let's start with Australia.
All right,
one of the eye-catching names or big names of the week. What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, it was impressive, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah.
It's all very simple for him, and I don't know if it's simple because he's very good, or if it's all just been very simple for him. Because
yeah.
At Epsom, he was always in a nice position. He never met any trouble whatsoever. He came down the centre of the course at Epsom, seemed to handle the track fine, and nothing's really boosted that form since. Obviously, in Ireland with the Irish Derby, it was a walkover, a farce. And then everything seemed to go really well for him at York as well. He was calm, he was relaxed. Again, he was given a beautiful ride, just sitting on the outside and no complications whatsoever. I suppose if you just got a... Aidan O'Brien said in the past he would like all races to be just run in a chute. And then you get your own lane, best horse wins, that kind of thing. So, and he seems to take that approach sometimes, just, well, let's not get silly, let's not complicate it. And, of course, the King George form was somewhat let down. I don't know if that... Maybe the race was harder on horses than it seemed at the time.
Yeah.
Telescope, Togruder being the obvious one. So he came out and beat McAdam and Telescope, who obviously ran in that. He has been wildly impressive. I want to see him go for the arc and see exactly what we've got.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I want to see. Whether he does or not, because they've got a variety of options, and obviously... Well, either that or take on Kingman, which would be just incredible.
Yeah, they either stay at a mile and a quarter, don't they, go for the Champion Stakes, or they go to a mile and race in the QE2 against Kingman, or they go to a mile and a half and try and win the Arc.
It's
a brilliant situation to be in, isn't it?
Nice few options, isn't it?
Yes.
But I always think the Arc is the biggest test of that kind of horse. But the drop back to a mile to be, I think the Champion Stakes one is the simple option, the easier option. But I don't know. It depends, because I personally, if I was breeding a horse or choosing a stallion to go to, it wouldn't necessarily put me off being unbeaten. Doesn't necessarily make you better. It just means that you've picked the right options.
Well, he's not unbeaten anyway, is he?
No. But what in terms
of
when they're trying to think, well, we don't want to lose. But I actually think failure sometimes is almost as admirable as success, depending on what
you're trying. Second in a really good arc is better than winning a race against
standard Champion Stakes. But they want sound bites, don't they?
Yeah.
Winner of four Group Ones, this kind of thing. Unbeaten over this distance, that kind of thing. So it was impressive, but I still really want to see him tested.
Okay. Sticking with the potential arc runners, Togruder, who you mentioned in there, obviously beaten in the Yorkshire Oaks. Would you still aim for the arc with her? Would that be your target? Yeah.
Yes, definitely, yeah. 3-year-old fillies have a really good record. And I think the key thing for the King George as well, while on the face of it, it was a harder race, she actually got the opportunity to win it by all the age and the sex allowances. And she came into it a relatively fresh horse as well, as opposed to York, where I think they just thought, oh, this is easy. They were complacent, I think, with York. And they hadn't banked on something in the field improving as much as it did, because of course they haven't come up against Tapestry in that kind of form before.
No.
So
a lot has to be made of Tegruda not winning, but I think a lot needs to be said about how much Tapestry's improved.
Yes. Yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, she should have won the Irish Oaks. So if she'd won the Irish Oaks, she wouldn't have been 8-1 for that.
No.
She might have been half the price and considered a serious challenger. And if she hadn't finished last in the Guineas, obviously things went so badly there. She'd been very unlucky. And then things went to plan. She was given a great ride by Ryan Moore. And she showed what she's worth. So, yeah, I'd still go for the Art with Tegruda, though. There's not much else. That's the chance to really boost her profile.
Yeah.
Whereas anything else will only merely confirm it.
Yeah. So those were the two real big standout names. What else stood out to you at York before we must move on?
I, off the top of my head, mm-hmm. I'm struggling because there was quite a lot. I think the main thing was actually a horse that didn't run at York, and that was Ivorwood,
yeah.
whose form has been frank left, right and centre with his July Stakes win and his win at Glorious Goodwood as well. Of course, the front two in the Gym Crack. Frank that form as well. I just think that form is bomb-proof.
Mm.
So I think seeing Ivorwood next time out is actually the thing that York has made me look forward to. And previously, I still wasn't quite sure just how good he was. But now I'm pretty convinced he's very, very good.
Yeah. Interesting. Good stuff. We must move on, though. We can't sit and dwell looking back. Just a bit of news before we move on to Wednesday stuff. Good news for the Quins, the Wow Signal, who registered a first Group 1 for John Quinn at the weekend. Staying with him next year.
Yeah, and rightly so.
Yeah.
Why break a winning formula?
Don't fix it if he's not broken and all that.
Well, he's never won a Classic before, but until the weekend, he never won a Group 1 before, so... Not many people can win top class Cheltenham races and, you know, European Group 1, so it's an incredible achievement, and I think it's all down to Sean, really. I think John's just a front.
Yeah, I'm sure Sean will agree with that as well.
Yeah, I think it's all Sean is the brains behind the operation, clearly.
Yes. Leading contender for next year's 2000 Guineas.
Yes.
Richard Pankhurst has been bought by Sheikh Hamdan bin Mohammed Al Maktoum, so that's the green and red silks. Would that be the first Gosden runner in those silks?
Yes, because they're all Johnson, aren't they?
Yeah,
yeah, intriguing. I wish I had enough money to just.
I like that horse. I'll go and buy it.
Wake up one morning and go, I fancy a Guineas contender. What's out there?
Yeah.
So Royal Ascot winner, how much? Yeah, I don't think I'll win the Guineas, but fair enough.
Okay. Anything else to talk about? We're not going to see postponed again this season.
No, which is
he's apt. Yeah, I was about to say, his campaign is postponed until next season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other news to talk about?
No, absolutely none whatsoever.
No news at all.
No.
So let's move on. Let's talk about Wednesday's racing. We'll get Ross's selections next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, we're going around the cards on Wednesday. Ross has picked out a race at Lingfield, one at Carlisle and one at Catterick. So we'll start in the 350 at Lingfield, going in chronological order. And this is a Class 4 handicap for three-year-olds and older, over five furlongs, 10 of them in the lineup here, Ross. And a couple of them coming into this in good form, Ross. The likes of Clearing and Descent both arrive here in winning form. Do you see it between those two, or is there something else on your radar?
Yeah, clearly winning form. Descent in particular has just shown blinding pace over six furlongs to make all the running around Lingfield. And on the face of it, he should be better over five, given how much early pace. But the six furlong course around Lingfield seems to really suit front runners. So I'm not entirely sure whether the drop to five furlong is necessarily as good as it seems.
Okay.
Clearing's in good form as well, has an excellent record here at Lingfield, is 3 from 4. At Lingfield, so clearly she's going to be very hard to beat as well. But I'm intrigued by Brother Tiger dropping back to five. David Griffiths obviously had a very good season with a couple of notable horses, Take Cover being the obvious one, and he dropped Take Cover down in trip and really improved as well. And I'm intrigued to see whether Brother Tiger can do the same thing. He won a handicap here over six furlongs back in November last year, and he ran really well on his last start over six furlongs here at this course as well. And I'm thinking, seeing as they're going to go off a decent clip, Royal Acquisition also likes to go from the front as well. I'm hoping that extra furlong's worth of stamina that Brother Tiger's got in the locker He's going to be key here. He's drawn in box five. He should get a perfect toe into it. And I think Brother Tiger is intriguing on his first start over five.
Okay, good stuff. O'Sheen Murphy in the saddle as well, in form. And from what I can understand, he'll be back in the saddle. He's had some time out with an insect bite, of all things.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Where?
On his elbow, which spread up his arm, apparently. So
Jesus.
He had to go to the hospital.
That old excuse.
Got right, I've got an insect bite.
Bit by a giant insect. Oh, right, okay, fair enough. You're excused.
Yes, so... Brother Tiger there then in the 3:50 at Lingfield. The 4 o'clock at Carlisle is where we'll go next. This is a class 4 handicap for 3-year-olds and older over the extended 7 furlongs. It's almost a mile. It's part of the London Mile Series qualifier, so that is why it's nearly a mile. What do you like here, Ross?
At Carlisle.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the London Mile Series spreading its wings.
Yeah.
To the other end of the country. I like the one at the bottom, Bahamian C, who's really progressed this season. He won 2 fast ground handicaps at Musselburgh and Hamilton. And then last time out, he ran into a horse called Shura Noor at Thirsk, which I had on my horse tracker because he'd been very unlucky in a couple of starts. He finally got the luck of the draw and things went his way. So I don't think there's any disgrace whatsoever in being defeated by Shura Noor. In theory, it should be faster ground as well at Carlisle, so I think things are in his favour. He's a 3-year-old against older horses, which in theory should be in his favour. But there are some inform older horses, Henry the Aviator being the most notable one. He bounced back to form with a good third at Leicester last time out, and it's about time he started running like he was last season, because he was very progressive last year. Talent Scout also loves this course as well. Well beaten at Newcastle last time, but his previous form here at Carlisle is a first and a second. So those two are big dangers. Chinese Jay's not out of it either for Smart Prescott, but I just really like this Bahamian C. I think he's really found his feet on his last few starts, and definitely think there's more to come from him.
Okay, Bahamian C then, the selection in the 4 o'clock at Carlisle, and the 4:45 at Catterick is the last race we'll look at. This is a class 4 handicap for 3-year-olds. It's over the extended mile and 3 furlongs, just short of a mile and a half, and starting here with a top weight, Ross, Galitzi, who had been tried in better company than this, dropped down to this level at Newmarket last time and went a close second behind Emeralds.
Yeah, no surprise to see him improve when given a race he can actually win. Mm. His form from Wolverhampton early on this season reads quite well, but as you said, Epsom and Ascot handicaps far too deep for him. Yeah, not bad form behind Emerald last time out. Only one horse has come out of that, and it's been quite well beaten, but there's clearly progress to come from Galitzi, as there is from the majority of this field, actually. Stanley Pick keeps running well, but I'm not entirely convinced he wants to win. He's got a relatively awkward head carriage. Indira's in great form as well, but I think Asteroidea is the one I'd be going with. Hugely consistent this season. Not finishing out of the front 3 and 4 runs. And last time I ran into a bit of a course specialist in the shape of Aramist over at Pontefract. Tried to set a very strong pace, which often helps at Ponty, but couldn't quite get away from the field. And I think Asteroidea's still got more to come. As I said, certainly no disgrace being beaten by a course specialist in the shape of Aramist.
Okay, Asteroidea then in that one. Let's just have a quick summary, Ross, if you'll spin us through your selections for Wednesday one more time.
Yeah, Brother Tiger in the 3:50 Lingfield, Carlisle 4 o'clock, we'll go for Bahamian C, and then Asteroidea in the 4:45 at Catterick.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you very much, Ross. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Enjoy your whole life, Mark.
Thank you very much. And that's the selections of Ross Briley for Wednesday. You'll hear all of Wednesday's action on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Stuart Beasley, Mick Norton and Gareth Toppin will be your team in the studio. It's Carlisle, Catterick and Lingfield in the afternoon. Kempton, Worcester and Irish action from Bellevuestown in the evening. 6 meetings to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.